in the world.
Got to bring the funk.
We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen.
A movie from 1986, The Hitcher. And since we just did the Patreon pod people exclusive before this, without even planning that we're going to do a Patreon pod people exclusive, I needed to like find a way to break the sign. You know, we played tons of music that maybe we shouldn't have probably not had played. So I needed to play something that was copyright free right here just to get it out of the system.
Oh, you know? I ain't got no problem with that, man. I'm feeling loose like a goose. You know what I'm saying?
Like a goose.
Yeah, loose. I'm ready for this one. I'm ready for this one. Besides, this is a Deb exclusive.
I thought this was a Josh exclusive.
Yeah, it's not a Deb exclusive.
I thought you picked this out. No. You're the one who told me what the movie was.
Well, yeah, because you asked what year, which one it was, and I looked it up. But this is the first time I've seen it.
Really?
Yeah.
Josh, have you ever seen this before?
Yes. Yes. Multiple times. Yes. This movie is one of what molded and shaped the mind of young Josh. Movies that this is how the world is, and this is what we need to be prepared for, and brought on so many years of anxiety, and always had me in fight instead of flight mode. And yeah, fuck yeah, I love this movie.
So you have a very good explanation for the ending.
Yeah.
How they missed the mark.
Oh my God. Get out. Get out of the pod. Where's the boot button?
Deb, tell him just to calm down and do what he's supposed to be doing right now.
And what is that?
Hitting that intro.
Warning. This podcast is about the horror genre. Specifically horror films. As most horror movies are filled with coarse language, violence, and or gore, the topics and language of the cast of the pod will also reflect the genre. If you have any issues with the aforementioned warnings, please press stop. However, if you have no issue with adult language, movie violence, or the accoutrement that accompanies horror films, please feel free to continue. You have been warned.
Thank you, Carl Casey, over at White Bat Audio for that intro. Not the voiceover, but the music in the background. Thank you very much. We are the Cast of the Pod podcast. This is the Dream Team version of it. 95% of our episodes shall be the Dream Team, which consists of myself, Josh.
Cobweb.
And Dip.
And we're three friends. Well, Deb and I are married. This year, it's 30 years that we've been married. Eek.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And then our friend Cobweb. And then we talk about movies. Most of the time, horror movies. And it's not... Even though this is a horror podcast, I wouldn't say it gets horror-y. It's just how the movies affect us, what we thought about the movies. And basically, it's a conversation against some. It sounds like this one's going to be against.
It's not my fault.
About movies.
The ending was horrible.
The 1986 masterpiece of a film, The Hitcher, starring the one, the only Rutger Hauer.
They still messed up the movie.
And C. Thomas Howell. Jennifer Jason Leigh.
That was horrible. That was horrible, Josh. I mean, like, why would you give me this movie to watch with this screwed up ass ending?
Are we jumping to the ending already?
No, we're not jumping to the ending.
We're not jumping to it, but we're just going to have a real big, we're just going to understand, and he's going to agree. By the end of this, he's going to agree with me 100%.
No. Let's go. I completely doubt it.
No. How much you want to bet? Yeah.
No.
I bet you a dollar.
Look, I'm going to bust out.
$1.
An impersonation that I haven't been working on. It just comes out every now and then. And it's a very bad impersonation. But I'm going to go ahead and do it anyways. All right. This movie is huge. It's so huge. It's the greatest movie of all time. What we're going to do is watch this movie over again. They're going to make a sequel that makes no sense. And then they're going to remake it. And the remake isn't even going to be as good as this movie. See, I told you it was no good. I haven't put the effort into working onto this voice.
I understand your work. It's a work in progress. They should have worked. But let me tell you something. You worked harder on that than they did on the ending of this movie.
This. Wow.
They hear me rolling. They hating.
Cobweb. Haterus Maximus.
I am not a Haterus Maximus. I regret to inform you, ladies and gentlemen, that they are not going to throw me underneath this bus. You guys are riding with me. And you guys, when you see this movie, you're going to be like, you know, Cobweb was right.
No, you're going to watch this movie. And here's the thing. They have it on Max right now if you want to watch it. And it is a shitty. Looks like they copied it off of a VHS and then they tried to edit it to fit the screen version of the film. And it kind of is cool because it brings you back to 1986 watching it on a shitty TV.
But then at the same time, I thought it was decent for 1986.
Well, where did you probably, what, did you see it on Amazon?
No, I saw it on Prime. I mean, on Max. I saw it on Max.
Okay.
But this is the thing we're talking about. This is the second movie in a week that we've done from 1986.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So there are some things that rewatching it as an adult, I realize it is not the perfect movie. And there are some things in this movie that I straight up, I'm like, the fuck? That I didn't see when I saw it as young Josh way back in the day when I saw this movie and I was like, yeah, I'm going to be ready for these motherfuckers. That's what this movie did. I know we were, again, for the millionth time, we were trying to cut back on cussing and all that, but this is a motherfucking movie right now. So you got to say, you know, but are we ready for the breakdown?
I think we might as well. I mean, they need to know. They need to know this train wreck of a debacle. And I'm like,
The Hitcher, 1986, rated R, 1 hour 37 minutes. Action, mystery, thriller, horror. A young man who escapes the clutches of a murderous hitchhiker is subsequently stalked by the hitcher and framed for his crimes. They didn't have to throw that word in there. Those motherfuckers knew I've never been able to say that word.
They wrote that just for you.
Before I got my brain injury, Dane Bramage. I had a problem saying aluminum. And this word is one of those words that not because of whatever image or whatever in my head, I just never been able to say it. You throw a couple of S's and a Q in there and it has gone.
Yeah.
You want me to say it in Japanese? I say it in Japanese, but I can't say it in English. You want it in French? Say it in French.
I broke up with this chick because she couldn't say M&M's.
Why?
I don't know. Because
she was upside down and said W&W.
Probably. She just could. That was horrible.
No, why did you break up with her?
Because she couldn't say M&M's.
That's his
number one. What would she say?
That's his number one favorite
rapper. Nothing. She would just point at it.
Oh. Could the real Cobweb please stand up? Please stand up.
I was shallow. We were at a vending machine, and I asked, she was like, "Could you buy me those?" And I said, "Buy you what? Those?" I was like, "What? The chips? What? What are you talking about?" And she was like, "Those right there." I was like, "What? The M&Ms?" And she was like, "Yeah." I said, "Why didn't you just say M&M?" And she said, "I can't." I mean, what do you mean you can't? It's just M&M.
She was like, no, in my house, we call them mm and mm.
Right.
Man.
Ma'am.
Yeah.
I don't get it. So I was just like, I was kind of like, are you serious right now? I guess maybe she had a speech impediment or something else like that. But I was like, I don't want, if you can't say M&M's, honey, I don't think you're going to be ready to get this. So I was
do not be talking about people with speech impediments. It's
wow, Kyle. Wow.
I told you I was shallow. I was very shallow when I was young.
Shame.
I was very shallow when I was young. I didn't think she talked fine to me. I mean, she had a heavy Jamaican accent from time to time. She was fly. You know what I'm saying? I dated her actually because the simple fact is that she didn't wear underwear because she said that she didn't like the panty line. So I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. This is hot, you know, from time to time, you know. But then when she came back and she couldn't say M&M's, I was just like, I just started cracking. I was just like, this is just hilarious to me. And, you know, that was pretty much
Speaking of Jamaicans, I want to point out the footage, and I don't know if you want me to put it in the Patreon pod people exclusive or anything like that. Oh, by the way, all our social medias are Cast of the Pod, unless you want to hit directly up to Cobweb, Cobweb 411, because he's got that info.
Mr. Shallow.
Thank you, Mr. Shallow.
Have you seen a movie? Talking about Jamaicans, right? I don't know if you wanted me to put that footage that you sent me when you went to Jamaica, left the United States, and you were out there by the beach, and I'm not making a Jamaican accent. I'm trying to impersonate Dave Chappelle from Half Baked by the beach. So don't get all pissed off, people, about me doing that, because it's an impersonation of it's a bad impersonation of a bad impersonation. Fuck off. No, but when you were out there by the beach, and like there's a whole bunch of blondies.
Those were all the tourists that were there. That was just the way it was. You know what I'm saying? I was playing beach volleyball out there with a bunch of chicks in string bikinis. You know, where do you want? I mean, I was it was my birthday. I was on vacation. I mean, who wouldn't want to go to Jamaica and play beach volleyball with a bunch of beautiful women in string bikinis?
So were you there with?
I wouldn't.
With Goose and
you know
Maverick?
What, Dale?
No. Were you there with Goose and Maverick and y'all had like marriage shades on and push it to the limit and y'all were like spiking the ball over into the sand? And
no shirt
hugged each other and the other guy hugs the other guy from behind. Yeah, we're dudes. 1986. Yeah, Rocky and Apollo running down the beach in short shorts. Yeah.
No.
Hey, ain't nothing
Cobweb
wrong with
don't
that.
Get down like that.
I'm not saying. I mean,
what are y'all doing over there?
That's the thing.
It's not my fault. I mean, you guys have got me all out of the box already. I'm already telling my innermost secrets of my shallowism that I've been working on for the last some years. But I'm not that type of guy anymore. But you guys think that I'm just a hater that just hates on movies with bad endings. I mean, it's not my fault that the hitcher was like this, because I thought this was actually The Hitchhiker, that show from back in 1986 where they came on HBO.
No.
Cobweb, Haterus Maximus.
Oh, sorry.
I swear.
Come on, come on, listen to the podcast that has Josh and Deb and the guy that hates everything.
That is not. Don't hate everything. That's the ending to this movie. Oh, shit.
Fuck, it's hot in here.
No, man, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. I just try to keep it real for my people out there. I do, man. I do. Because this movie was like, it was. Josh, what was
perfect, except where it wasn't?
That says a lot. But you know what this movie does? You know what this movie does that's really good though. I ain't go front. It's the common thread of bad police work. These have got to be the worst police officers on the force in my entire life I've ever seen. They were worse than the brain. The police officers in the brain, they were worse than, I don't. What other bad movies that we had with police officers that
were just? Well, there was a good cop in here, Captain Estridge, who happened to be the old man from The Mist that got the, you know, the. You know, I'm just saying.
Bad police work. That
was way too fucking loud.
It was bad police work all the way around. They couldn't do anything. Come on, they couldn't even get to the chopper.
Dude,
Rutger fell over here.
Yeah, I heard it.
And the dogs came running.
You hear the jet flying by?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's starting to get. It's starting up. The world is falling to shit. I am red in the fucking face. You see that?
Jeez.
Look, my lips all fucked up too. I look like Kanye.
Kanye,
just like him.
What the? It's amazing. So yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, so no, he was the old man from The Mist, and he's the captain of the Hitcher. He was one of the good cops from The Green Mile, the old guy. He's the old guy from The Old Guy.
I remember him in the movie. You know, he was old.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a good cop.
So, for those of y'all that have not seen this beautiful masterpiece of a film that should be required watching for anyone ever, C. Thomas Howell, also from Fire in the Sky, from the, what do you call it, Outsiders, and a bajillion of other things, but I'm just naming some of the bigger things for the people that may not realize it. He's driving cross-country in a badass Cadillac, 1985 Cadillac, two-door, right?
It could have been a full Broham.
And he got a job basically driving that car across the country to San Diego. And I don't know why he ended up in Texas to get to San Diego. That's neither here nor there. And he started in Chicago. He started in Chicago, Illinois. And
he came to Texas.
He got to Texas, made the wrong turn at Albuquerque or something like that, which is not shown in the movie. He's just driving. You know, and his job back then, people didn't have cell phones, didn't even have pagers or shit like that. And his job was to drive the car to San Diego because the guy that owned the car was going to be waiting for the car there. Right?
You know who that was? You know who that person was that he was waiting for?
Who?
It was probably Richard Pryor in Moving. Because that guy, you ever seen that flick, Richard Pryor Moving?
Long time ago.
Right, because he had the same thing happen to him when he had his car track, you know, drove cross country like that too. And it probably got in the same shape as this guy dropped it off as the same one that Richard Pryor got back then.
Okay. So we'll get to the shape of the caddy in a little bit. But yes, you're right. As he's driving, he's a clean Boy Scout. He's not doing any 1986 speed or crank or whatever it was back then. I don't know. I don't know the stereotype drugs from back then. He was driving down the road by himself.
They was probably at that age right then and there back then. They were probably doing what's that stuff that the caffeine pills. No dose. Typically, back then.
Dude, I got hooked on no dose when I worked in the call center, and they let us work as many hours as you wanted.
Oh, and wow!
This is no dose. You can go to any pharmacy, not even pharmacy. You go to a big box retail store, like a Mart, or another, you know, like that, or a Target allegedly, and literally no dose. Just anyways, I got hooked on those for the longest time. Deb, you awake?
Yep.
You need some no-dos?
Yep.
So he's falling asleep because he's bored on the road. And anyone who's done any type of, you know, over the road, long-term driving, you know that feeling. Especially when you're on the boring ass, either in the woods or out in the dark, and everything looks the same. And it's getting dark. And back then, they couldn't stream no music. There was no radio stations. And I think he had like an 8-track player in the car, right?
Or yeah, you can play
radio back then. They had radio stations in the cars back then.
But he was like in the middle of the desert type thing. There's no signal.
Texas, no signal.
Point, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was already passing out. And he's like, I got to be there at a certain time. You know, push it to the limit. And he sees it's raining. It's pouring. The old man is snoring. And this Volkswagen passes him by, and then he almost runs off the road, almost runs into an 18-wheeler, right? Which kind of foreshadows when he runs into a bus later on. But anyways, and then as he's driving in the pouring rain, this is what I noticed.
What'd you notice, John?
I know he wanted to pick this guy up so he could have someone to talk to, somebody to keep him awake, right?
Yep.
But I'm gonna say this, don't think me cold-hearted, people out in podcast land or anything like that, but if I'm in the middle of slit your throat Arizona, nobody's around, I'm not having any type of personal protection on me at the time, and it's in the rain and there's no GPS, there ain't no satellites recording shit, and he didn't have a good structure at home where his parents or anybody was going to be looking for him. He had his brother that didn't answer the phone, and there's some motherfucker on the side of the road that looks like he needs help, and it's raining, and he's like, hey, help me, help me. Fuck you, guy. Bye. That's
I would have did it too. I would not have, me personally, I would have not stopped for that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he even said it when he pulled him over. You know what I'm saying? He said, my mom always told me never to do this. You know, he got what he freaking deserved. I mean, your mother told you don't do this shit. And he did exactly opposite what his mother told him. And look where it ended his ass up at. Okay?
He said it, and Rutger Hauer's like, yeah.
Yeah. What?
Especially when you're in the middle of the night and it's raining, you can't even see what the person looks like that's standing on the side of the road.
He got what he deserved. He got what he deserved.
Can't see the blood on the trench coat. He's wearing a trench coat. Can't see, you know. And he gets in the car. He's like, where are you going? And he's all like, excuse me, butthead. Where are you going? Nothing. Get the fuck out of my car. Then they're driving past the Volkswagen that passed him earlier in the night, right? And oh boy, can you hear the jet? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
There's some low flying jets going on right now. There's some military shit going on. Ixnay.
They're probably flying over. They're probably flying over. What's his name? House right now.
Who's?
Diddy's.
They've been like this for the past week, right?
They're just circling.
Yeah, they do. That's what they're doing.
So here's the thing.
All right. Keep it going.
Rutger Hauer grabs his leg, and I've been like, nah, dude, I don't play like that. Shoves his leg down on the gas so he can step on the gas in the rain and pass the car. It's like, why didn't you want me to see what's in the car? That's why you take out your gun.
He didn't have one.
Right. He had already noticed that the door was kind of open, right? And you could do this in cars back then. Now your car is kind of open. It won't move. Close your door. Reintegrate your transmission. I hate that shit. Anyways. So he notices on the dashboard, you know, door ajar. Right? And so he pushes him out. After asking the guy, why don't you want me to see what's in there? He goes, because I don't want you to see the guy that I killed. No laugh, no nothing. You don't know this guy, right? Here is my biggest complaint about the movie.
Okay.
Y'all want to say anything before I get to my biggest complaint about the movie?
You can just say about it right now, because he was kind of bogus on that, because he was torturing him like verbally throughout the whole trip.
Right. I am not giving the advice to do this. I do not recommend that you do something like that if you are ever in this situation. I do not recommend it at all. Okay? But if somebody won't let you see the car that passed you by and they got blood on them and they're not answering your questions and they're acting all creepy and all that, and they grab your leg past the whole thing and he's like, I killed the guy in the car. That's why I didn't want you to see it. If you shove that motherfucker out your car and you're in the middle of the desert and nobody else is there around you and there is no way anybody is going to find out that it was you, I do not recommend that you throw it in reverse, run that motherfucker over, crack that skull open, go back again, you know, make sure, maybe the first time you break the legs, don't do that. And then the second time you go back up against the ribs, don't do that. And then the third time, you know, just pop that melon. Just don't do that.
Don't do that. Okay, but this is 1986. You probably could have got away with it.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody would know. No cell phones, no satellites overhead, nothing like that. Do not do that if you're in that situation. Triple tap that motherfucker. Don't. No. No, that is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my big problem with this movie.
Well, I could tell you what was one of my big problems I had with it was that, you know, because he thought that he was all good, you know, and he was driving off and thought everything was fine, that he had beat him and he was all congratulatory about himself and everything. And then as he's driving down the street, what does he see? What does he see coming up behind him?
How great was that? How great was that? That everything's fine. It's the next day. The sun is out. The road is dry. He's all happy singing it. Deb, you okay over there? Yeah. You sure? Okay, and then he's all happy and everything's all good, and then here comes the little kid in the back of the station wagon. Deb and I both had that station wagon. We were kids.
It's funny.
We talked about it. Yeah, where the seats are backwards and all that. And yeah, we didn't know each other when we were kids like that, but our families had those station wagons. And
did you have it, Cub?
No, my family did not have. We didn't drive station wagons in Chicago. We rode in vans.
Well, we had an old Dodge van, no window panel van that it was a gift from my grandfather back in the day. And then we had this old used Chevy station wagon. Anyways, regardless, the Griswold family cruiser. But
right. That's exactly what it was.
And so the kids are in the back and they're seeing them and they're like, hey, waving at them, back when you can wave at people out on the highway and honk the horns. And then you're a truck driver and then
go like this.
We go, burr, burr, and they'd honk the horn. And you're like, yeah. And like 25 years old would go by and flash the truck drivers, hey. And the truck drivers, and like, I mean.
and I'm shallow, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm shallow.
Back in the day.
You used to do that, Josh?
No, I was not ever a 25-year-old girl.
He's just taking it there.
I mean, if you want me to decide tomorrow that I'm a 25-year-old girl and you want me to flash a truck driver as I'm driving down the road, that can be done.
So enjoy the alphabet crew.
But that's neither here nor there. Jokes, people. They're just jokes. But.
Hey, but, whatever you feel, you feel.
Okay, stop.
Whoa.
So as the station wagon's passing in front of him and he sees the wife and the dad and 2.5 children living the American dream and everything like that, right? And the kids are there and the kids have little, like, do they have little plastic toy guns?
Yep.
Back when you can play with fake guns?
Yeah, pop game, yeah.
Little pop guns and all that. And they're like, bah, bah, and see Thomas Howell, Jim, his name is Jim Halsey. He's like, hey, bah, bah. And then perfectly filmed, perfectly timed, perfect music and everything like that. Rutger Hauer somehow, a la The Professional, out of the shadows, scoots forward and he's like, bam. And C. Thomas Howell's like, what? No. That's why you did not have run over him.
Wait.
Nobody was looking. Do not.
I had a note on this. Okay. Okay. First of all, who in a right mind would pick up a hitchhiker with their young kids and leave them in the back seat with them? Hey, Who does that?
Hey, Cheryl, that gentleman over there needs help. Let's pull on over. Let's mosey on down. And it's what the good book says. Technically, I can see the point. But
and look what happened to them. And look what happened to them.
Personal protection in your lap. Maybe in your shirt coat like that, holding it backwards, right where, you know, you got your arm back this other way, where you just happen to have it pointed at them the whole time. Just hope you don't hit a bump, you know, and then just, you know, oh, sorry, guy, my bad.
Yeah. Right. First step first, you don't let them sit behind you, and let alone you don't let them sit next to your kids. One of the little girls was sitting on his lap, and he was like holding her and stuff like that, you know, like ha ha ha, laughing at old dude. It was driving past.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. I agree.
Nope. That's not real. Nobody's doing that. Not even in 1986.
So Jim Halsey, C. Thomas Howell, starts chasing over them and he's like driving up, hey, yeah, rah, rah, rah. And then the guy's like, excuse me? Hey, he's a killer. Pull over. Get out.
I can't hear you. We're on the highway.
Like your kids, he's gonna murder all of you.
Maybe we should slow down.
And then that's when he got hit by that bus.
So head on 2-lane highway, notorious highways going to California. Even though this one's in nowhere in the middle of armpit buttwater Texas, and gets hit by a bus. He goes to swerve, gets clipped in the back, tears the bumper off of the back car, off of the back of the car, I tried to say. And I noticed this as young Josh back in the day. When he gets up to the next gas station to call people, before that, he gets hit, boom, tears the bumper off, right? Yep. Drives off, bus driver's like, you dirty kids, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And, finally catches up to the station wagon, right? I'm looking at y'all right here on the screen. I'm trying to look at the camera because we're supposed to look at the camera as we're talking to the people out there. And finally pulls up. The station wagon's on the side of the road, right? He walks up to the station wagon. This is perfect writing right here. You know, the screen, the windows are all fogged up and dirty. You can't see to the back. He finally gets up to the front window, not the front window, but the driver's side front window. And he looks in, he's like, starts puking all over the place. His foot, this is the perfect part. His foot is underneath the car. Like when you get close to a window and your feet are underneath the car, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. And there's blood dripping because everybody is dead. And there's so much blood in this vehicle that it's dripping out. That model of the station wagon didn't have a high rise. You know how those old cars had that big drop in the bottom?
Yep.
For your feet, or just the leg space back in the day, that station wagon, it was kind of rounded. It was kind of tub-like on that part. And so, I mean, it makes sense for three kids, a mom and dad. That's enough blood to trickle out the door. And it gets on his shoes. Now, they didn't have DNA tracking and all that back then. But if a cop pulls up to him and happens to see blood on him as he's calling in the suspicious, you know, and here's this kid going to California. He must be a stoner, one of those delinquents.
First of all, let me be honest with you. Why would he think that phone would work at that gas station?
Because
why would he think that phone would work there at that station? That made no sense. That was an abandoned gas station in the middle of freaking nowhere. Why would he think that would work?
Because he had hope.
True. Hope. Nice, Deb. But why did he have hope? Because it was 1986.
And he was a good kid.
Every single payphone anyone ran up to in 1986, as long as it had the receiver on it, that phone fucking worked. Those phones went through some shit. They were literally covered in shit, covered in piss, covered in broken glass inside the little coin thing and all that.
So yeah. You stick your finger
in shit and whatever. And those phones, those buttons, you couldn't break the fucking buttons off. And if they were stuck or whatever, you'd push them in and beep, get the operator. I need to make a collect call to hurry up and pick me up. I'm done at the mall.
Oh, and, you know. that's just true. This is very true and all that. But I still didn't think that that phone would have worked. I didn't understand why he got out the car anyway. I mean, there were so many things he did. So many things this kid did. So goofy. I'm just like, geez. Between that and the shoddy police work.
How old was he?
He was like 19.
So he was just like a dumb kid just coming out of school.
Okay, I give you that.
Doing this for money, and this was probably his first time.
He wanted to go to California to start a new life, probably being an actor. So he had the dumb dreams of, I'm going to go over there and start my brand new world. He was probably on, if not on a chemical high, but just on a high of like, I'm almost there. This is the next step in what I need to do. The only thing I need to do to make my life perfect. So let me pick up a hitchhiker.
Yeah, Josh, you just talking yourself out of this one, ain't you?
I still love this movie. You are not going to convince me otherwise in any way, shape, or form. Excuse me.
Deb, did you believe all that?
What, did Josh say?
Yeah. Now, after the gas station, what Josh said?
Oh, yeah, I believe it.
Okay. Now, here's something else that I don't want to understand at the gas station scene. Okay, the gas station scene made no sense to me at all. I don't understand why they had it. And the fact that he outran that fire like that in the Cadillac as he was driving off when those dudes set the whole gas station on fire, trying to kill him again. I'm like, come on, dude. That's not going to work. That's not going to work.
The main guy always leaves the explosion behind him. Remember, that trope was set back in the 80s. The hero of the story, the main person, there was always an explosion behind them and they were unaffected. It didn't matter that his car was completely on fucking fire and yes, his tires were on fire.
As he was driving off and he kept driving. He was
driving off and the car's paint wasn't even black and sooty. Afterwards,
wait. And he was completely covered in gas.
He was completely covered in gas, and the bumper melted. See, that's what happened. All the damage melted into the shape of a perfect bumper back onto the back of the car from when he left the bumper, from when he got hit by the bus. So any damage that might have happened became a bumper in the back. Because I will get to this part in a little bit. After I hear why you hate this movie, and I'll tell you why all these horrible, shitty things happened in this movie. I know that it's bad. And as soon as he gets to the next bus stop or whatever, then there's Jennifer Jason Leigh. And she lets in a complete, total stranger who has blood on him, and he's all dirty, and he's all wired and freaked out and all that. And she's like, sure, go ahead. Go take a shower in the sink back there. And by the time he comes, we normally don't open for another 2 hours. But he comes out from, see that? That's how women were in the 80s. That's how women were in the 80s.
Wrong. Took care of
her man. Didn't even know that was her man yet. And he came out from his sink shower, right? Brand new clothes. Had a brand new pair of Nikes on. Did you notice? He had some Cortez. Yeah, he had some Nike Cortez earlier. Then he had some, were they Jordans?
No, they were Air Force Ones.
Air Force Ones?
High top.
And then as soon as he gets there, there's that good-looking, thick sirloin steak burger.
Yeah.
Like she took the steak and ground the meat up and all that to make the burger. Deb, you all right?
Yep.
Okay. And it is a good looking burger. He was like, wow, I didn't know you were the cook. She's like, I'm not. He's not here yet. So I just threw this together for you.
Deb. Bro. Let me tell you something. Why I dislike this part right here. Okay.
Oh, shit.
when he was at the door and he was talking all that stuff and she didn't have to let him in, why didn't she just call the police for him and leave him outside?
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah.
Deb, what do you think? Chime in here, Deb.
I don't know. I agree with both of y'all. There's a lot of things in this movie that I wouldn't have done.
A lot of
agreed.
Things.
Agreed.
Yeah.
A lot of things.
All right, let's.
I wouldn't have let him in. I wouldn't have let him in. Because, nope. Like, he was all dirty. He was... Could you see the blood on him?
I think so. He had a lot of blood on him already.
Yeah, he was completely disheveled and everything. You know, and then when the police come and show up, they accuse him of, like, doing the crime and stuff like that. And then they ask him in interrogation, where'd you get that fancy car from? Like, this car looks like shit. It's already been... set on fire. It's been in a car accident. Yeah. Bad. And they're talking about, where'd you get that fancy car from? Get the fuck out of here.
Well, it was fancy at a certain point until all that stuff happened. So maybe that's what they were trying to get to.
Then the cops get there. This is a scene that was ingrained in my prepubescent mind. Scene when he's there, he's eating fries like this. Then he gets his next fry and he starts eating his fry, right? And then the next finger he picks up, the next fry he picks up is a finger, right? And if you look at that finger, it has where the ring, you can't see it because the light's over here.
Oh, really?
Where that finger had the indention of where a wedding ring was at. And if you look at Rutger Hauer's hands, right?
Yeah.
He's wearing two wedding rings that indention on the finger.
Oh, wow.
He's wearing two wedding rings where allegedly he took them from the mom and dad from the station wagon.
Nah, you know, I don't understand that part. So obviously he must have been there already. How did he beat him there to the gas station?
We'll get to that later.
I mean, to the stop. Not the gas station, but when he went to the restaurant. How did he beat him there, cut up a body, put the finger inside the French fry bag, and then give it to him like that? Who has time? Like, this guy got an Urkel teleporter or something?
Do you want the reason now, or do you want to wait until we get towards the end of the movie?
Is it because they wrote it in the script?
No, we'll get to it towards the end of the movie. Then the cops show up, right? And the cops are like, and he's all like, he's over there, he's over there. And they're like, we need to see your hands. We need a blah, 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 blah. Bad police work. Bad police work. And without even looking about who's behind them or anything like that, they went straight into the, we don't take kindly to your type around. Ah, you're from Chicago and fancy car and brr, 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 brr.
Yep. Exactly.
Completely not paying attention to their six, not anything, just not looking around or nothing, you know, and just whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. The worst police force ever.
Right. Then how does he get away from the cops?
Interrogate. This is something else that was crazy. Okay. So this kid was that asleep where he woke up because they interrogated him and asked him, you know, all these questions and stuff like that. And they asked him what service he was using. And he was able to read off the phone number to the place where he was licensed off to. And he even gave him the whole address with the zip code. So a lot of people know if you can rattle off that zip code too, you know what I'm saying? They didn't even believe that. They just took him into custody, honestly, to tell the truth, because they said that they didn't believe that he did it, you know, off the grip, you know? So he wakes up in the morning inside the cell because he's super tired after all that stuff. And he wakes up in the morning and he goes to the door and it's freaking unlocked.
It's open.
The bars, yeah, it's open. They knew he wasn't the killer of the family, even though that's what they originally arrested him for. But you're right. They're like, well, what agency do you work for? I work for SNS Acme, whatever the coyote bought his
owner.
Right? And they're like, what's the phone number? And he's like, 786-763-2278. And that's our phone number for Cast the Pod, 786-763-2278. also known as 786 Podcast. But anyways, not that I had to look it up before I said it right now. So he just spits out the number off the top of his head, and none of that lines up. But he falls asleep, wakes up. He's like, "Hey, get me out of here." Grabs the bars. The door opens. Right? Yeah. He's walking around, sees the cop all bloody. One cop there, right?
Yeah.
Takes his firearm, runs out, and here come. This is one part that is kind of upsetting, right? Texas Highway Patrol are an elite force to deal with.
Not in this movie.
Not in this movie. But in real life, elite Texas Highway
Patrol. So explain this to me. Okay. So this kid. No, you're going to explain this to me right now, Josh. How in the world does this kid, he when he goes out there, because that dog is out there licking the dead bodies.
Licking old the dude. Dead cop.
Yeah, the dead cop. And he sees what's going on. He sees the cops coming because he's killed. Old dude's coming there and he's killed the entire police force, opened up his cage, and shot a bunch of people. Okay, he didn't hear.
Those that hadn't seen it, this is a jail in the middle of Butwater, Texas that has these Arizona type, California type mountains.
Right, but they couldn't even see him. He didn't hear anything going on.
Only one building for 100 miles. Ain't nothing around. And as soon as he picks up the gun, he's got the blood on him and all that, and he finds the other police officers dead and the dog's licking the blood and all that, here come the not so elite, led by Roscoe P. Coltrane, Enos. Exactly. Texas Highway Patrol. I was a little, that's like if somebody starts talking shit about Whataburger and HEB and Buc-ee's. You don't do that. You don't do that around here. Keep Selena's name out your fucking mouth. Don't talk about Selena. Thank you. Don't talk about Eddie Guerrero. There's some things in Texas you just don't fuck with.
No, and you don't mess around with the Guerreros.
Highway Patrol.
But how did he get away? So you're trying to tell me this kid, they had like 50 police cars chasing him.
Don't pick our blue bonnets.
And he had the nerve. He ran out the back door. Through the desert, on foot, and they couldn't catch him.
Nope.
How is that even possible?
I will get to that shortly.
It's a movie.
And they put it in the script. Yep.
So then he runs into this place where there's a bus stop. And who happens to be on this bus stop in the middle of nowhere?
The girl.
What was her name?
No, wait. You missed the part.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Nash. Her name is Nash.
Yeah.
Jennifer.
He missed the part where we got the worst police work ever. And that was when he was on foot and he took those two police officers hostage.
Yes. Yes. He's holding the gun on them and leaves the gun on one of them. And he pulls those two cops hostage. Right. And he's in the back of their car. And he's talking to Captain Estridge, which is Jeffrey DeMunn, which is the old guy from The Mist that we just recently did. If you haven't heard it, go to Cast of the Pod. You can find us on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, all those good places. Deb's falling asleep.
No, I'm not.
But, so he's talking to him. I want to give myself up. It wasn't me, blah, 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 blah. And as he's talking to him, here comes Rutger Hauer in this jacked up, raised up, got the roll cage and the lights and the big tire Dodge badass black pickup truck.
Yep.
Right. Drives up alongside of him. So he's on the driver's side of the state troopers. This one's a sheriff's officer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's on the sheriff's officer.
He's on the driver's side of this car. The two bad cops in there aren't paying attention to the truck driving the wrong direction. Right. Jeez. He shoots from the driver's side through his passenger side window, through the driver's side window, and shoots the passenger in the neck.
Yeah. What size pistol was that?
It was a 44 Magnum, which would have completely decapitated him.
It made no sense. That made no sense.
That's fine. Deb, you had to take a break? Okay.
All right.
And then he shoots the driver. Boom. Right? And then drives off in the desert. No problem. The badass Dodge black pickup truck.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yep.
Car flips over, blah, 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 blah. Right? And then that's when he hoofs it to where the bus stop is at, right?
Yeah, he gets to the bus stop.
Nash just happens to be on that bus where everybody got off or whatever. Then he sneaks in and hides in the bathroom, waits until it drives away for a while. Then he gets out of the bathroom and Nash is there. He sits in the very back seat. She doesn't see him as she opens the door to go drop a deuce. And he pushes her in the bathroom.
Yeah, and nobody saw that.
Don't scream, I'm not a killer.
Exactly.
Like, why did your voice change like that?
Because he wasn't, you know, it didn't. He's just sitting there, and then they pull him over. And then here's some more bad police work. Okay, the police officers try to assassinate him in front of bus of people.
Two smart things. Yes, you are right.
Right. They sit up there saying, oh, he's reaching for my gun. There's something on my sleeve.
No. Kind of. So they're standing there. All the people are in the bus. They're standing there off on the side. And he's like, you motherfucker, you killed those men. Were my best friends. And he's like, I didn't do it. It wasn't me. Right?
Yep.
And he goes, you spit on my wrist. Wipe it off. He's like, what? He goes, you spit on my wrist. Wipe it off with your hands. Which means that it would have looked like he was grabbing the gun. And the other cop was like, Biff, Dale, Bob, whatever your name is, we can't do this. We need to take him in. We need to do this the right way. He's like, shut up, Enos.
Yeah.
He's like, but Roscoe. He's like, he killed Flash.
The dog.
You spit on my wrist. Wipe it off. I'm like, dude, how many times are you going to say that this guy spit on you?
Because it's a simple... Okay. And like, there was not any witnesses. Okay? The entire people on the bus was watching this scene, looking out the windows, hearing the entire conversation.
They wouldn't have heard it. Allegedly, they wouldn't have heard it. But they would have seen the Kim guy... Train. And grabbing his wrist, grabbing for the gun. So up there, boom, boom, there you go.
He was reaching for my gun, so I had to shoot him.
I tried to bring him in. I was doing my due diligence, but you know how these kids are. He went after the gun. And unfortunately, I had to put 17 of them into him.
Yeah.
I was scared for my life.
Roscoe, you have a six shooter.
I wanted to make sure he was down. I was trying to protect all the people on the bus.
You had to reload twice.
Dude, it made no sense at all. And the fact that he was running around with a gun with no bullets the whole time, he never checked it. Yeah, he was never checked the gun to see if it had bullets.
Rutger Hauer, go ahead, Deb.
That's how it shows that he was young and naive, that he didn't even think about, he was dumb. He didn't think about checking it. He just automatically thought bullets came in the gun automatically.
So now Jennifer Jason Leigh's there, right? He threw down the gun which is now loaded, right?
Yep.
She draws the gun on these two cops that she knew because they're out here in Butwater, Texas. Everybody knows everybody. And they're like, Nash, you're making a wrong choice. And she's like, no, y'all are making the wrong choice. He's innocent. We're going to go turn ourselves in, blah, blah, blah. Y'all drop y'all's guns. And she tells them, take his gun, but you're already in enough trouble. Empty it.
Yeah.
So they drive off. They go to a truck stop motel, kind of like the one from, what was that movie we saw with
Bill Paxton? Wait.
Oh my God, Haterus Maximus.
Hey, how? Again, the worst police force ever. You cannot tell me that car, that whole chase scene, when they were chasing him down the street, okay?
1986.
1986, they did a straight 18 flip over. car just flies off to the side for no reason. It does a barrel roll and explodes. How was our man, the Hitcher, able to shoot down a helicopter with a 44 Magnum one-handed while he's driving a car?
Rutger motherfucking Hauer is how. No. But no, we'll get to that in a second. Go ahead, Dan. Go ahead.
It makes no sense.
But, anything? I thought you were going to say something.
Who?
You. You're the only one named Deb. Oh, okay. So I forget. You're right. I'm glad you brought this up. An amazing chase scene. As soon as they drive away from the bus, Nash and Jim, right? They get over like two little hills, movie hills, right? Yeah. And they go up to go over the third one. Here's the helicopter. Right along the road. If an 18-wheeler would have came by, it would have knocked the shit out of that helicopter.
They didn't even know how to fly a chopper. Why would they even give them a chopper?
The guy's up there with his daddy's deer hunting rifle, trying to shoot the car. And
no, they called all points out on his ass. Because he's already wanted for like about 8 murders.
He had five-star GTA.
Yeah, he had GTA on his ass. And them ones were straight up. They pulled out the big armor on them then. Because they pulled out the AKs. That's what they had on them. All the cops had. They had AKs, and they were shooting at the car from out and everything else like that. And they couldn't even get them in.
Blew off the trunk, blew off the doors, threw the hood, breaking all the glass. Right, here comes our man, Rutger Hauer, one-handed in the Dodge. It's like, doom, 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 doom.
Yep.
Doom, doom. Driving up, he's like, hey, look, there's a fucking helicopter. And in the meantime, so here's the one car with the doors blown off and all that, smoke trailing and all that. Here come the other two police cars, or three. Was it three, Deb? Three, right?
Yeah.
Three police cars, trying to, one behind them, two on each side, trying to box them in and all that, right? Rutger Hauer's there, and he's like driving forward, and it's like Hawkeye in the Avengers. When he knows that there's one coming around the corner, so he like shoots off to the side and blink, 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 and it hits the one that, you know.
It was like he was playing pool.
Yeah. So he's like there, two shots. Boom. Oh, now the helicopter's kind of unstable. Boom. Right? Helicopter starts spinning. Lands right in front. Hits that one car. Boom. Here go the other cars. Fire. You know, all that stuff.
Made no sense at all. First of all, Rutger Hauer, his forearms are not that strong. Who the hell do they think he is? Popeye? Okay? Ain't no way on earth you're going to be able to shoot a 44 Magnum straight up in the air and drive and shoot down a helicopter without looking.
I've shot a 50 caliber Smith & Wesson 500, single-handedly, 6-inch barrel.
But you was you holding that with a bent arm straight up in the air? One-handed?
While I was driving. While you were driving? Black Dog. In the desert, yeah. No. I want that truck. I'm just saying, I want that truck. That's why I've brought it up so much. I want that. If anybody out there has that exact truck in pristine condition and you want to give it to me for free, I'm your man.
Because you ain't paying for it.
No strings attached, clear title, and you just want to give it to a podcast and, you know, only 33.4% of a podcast, I'm here right now.
Why do you get the whole? Because he's throwing around that point again. That's his problem. Yeah. No, we're not doing that tonight.
So Nash and Jim get to the truck stop. And this is where my hormone imbalanced young Josh was like, they've already known each other a whole 16 hours.
Yeah. You know, he's wanted for murder. I'm going to call my dad. No, don't do that.
Oh, my God.
I need to call my dad and just let him know. Don't do that. Don't do that. And then she does it anyway. You knew she was.
Yeah.
So he steps into the shower. This time he doesn't take a sink shower. He takes a shower. Getting ready.
Wow. Yeah. She was ready.
Calls dad. No, I'm okay. Yes, I'm against my will. I can't tell you that I'm at the Motel 43 on highway number blah, 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 blah. Oh, I'll call you when things are okay. Hangs up the phone. Camera pans left. Camera pans left. Who's standing there? Rutger motherfucking Hauer.
Yep.
In the room. She lays down. I've done my due diligence. I've called my parents, and I'm waiting for my man of 16 hours. Lays down like that. Rutger Hauer gets up right next to her, snuggles next to her, just smells her like that, puts his hand on her shoulder.
Creepy.
He had creepy. The cuts. He had, if you've known anybody who fights with knives, you've seen the cuts on their hands and anything like that. He had very nice knife wounds on his hands that were very realistic. And he puts his hand on her shoulder and she reaches over to give him the signal of, oh yeah, thinking it's Jim. And she touches the hand. And then right when she gets over the scar, she's kind of like, what? And then, next thing you know, cops come out. They've got, he's trying to run away from them. They catch, Jim's trying to run away from them. They catch him and they're like, we know it's not you. We know it's not you. He's got her. And he's like, what? Cut to a scene. There's a truck, an 18 wheeler, bobtailing between a trailer and the cab. Right? She's tied with fucking aircraft carrier anchor ropes, big shipping, thick ass ropes. Ugh. Right? He's got the truck in gear and on. All these cops are around him. Right?
Yeah, he's got a foot on the clutch.
If he lets off that clutch, the truck is going to stall out. He is not going to get away. But if anybody knows anything about 18 wheelers, especially those back then, as soon as he steps off, it's going to pop. And it moves forward like 3 feet. And she's tied perfectly. Perfectly. So there is no wiggle room.
No, it's not. It's not.
And they're like, he wants to talk to you. And so he goes in there. They put Jim in the cab with him. He hands Jim the gun.
Go ahead. Josh. Explain this to me. Now, the worst police work ever. They had no idea what to do. They just told him, you get in there and you figure it out. Okay? How you gonna sit
this
up there?
Is your
and
sit, girlfriend.
How you gonna send this kid, right, into a truck with a killer that's got a girl in there and just gonna send him in there? They you just sent them in there like with nothing. No plan or nothing. Life,
if it was real life, you know what they could have done? They were in a truck stop. The trailer was in between other trailers, all lined up, like how you park your trucks and all that. The truck was just moved away slightly enough to have enough room for her to be tied up, hands on one side, feet on the other side, right?
Yeah.
And so all they would have had to do was go further down the truck stop behind the trailer that was behind him and walk underneath the fucking trailer. Get to her. There was no back window. He wouldn't have seen from the side windows. And cut her loose while Jim's climbing up and all that, not paying attention, and they could have fucking saved her.
Yep.
But the
worst movie police force ever.
And young Josh's mind could not comprehend as C. Thomas Howell, he tells Jim, he's like, put the gun in my head. He puts the gun to his head and all that. He's like, now end it for me. Right? And he's like, I can't. So what does C. Thomas Howell do? I'm not, what does Rutger motherfucking Howard do? Takes his foot off the clutch. You hear the stretching. You hear the bones cracking. Fade to black.
Yeah. Was it him to blame?
With the what?
Was it him to blame? Because I think that it wouldn't have mattered if he killed him or not, if he pulled the trigger or not. Because if he would have pulled the trigger, if he would have pulled the trigger, he would have came off the clutch and it would have killed her. If he didn't do it, right? If he didn't do it, he was. It was a no-win situation.
The only way she would have made it is if they would have done what Josh said.
Yeah, some real police work.
Yep.
The whole thing was punishment. Punishment for C. Thomas Howell. Regardless, no matter what he would have done, she would have died.
Yeah.
As long as John Ryder, his name is Ryder, John Ryder. We hadn't even
Rider
said it.
Ryder of the Night.
Riders of the Storm. This movie was inspired after a road trip, and the director heard the song Riders of the Storm. That's why he's John Ryder. Yeah.
Okay.
And he found him in the storm.
So here's the thing. before we get to the ending of this movie, right? Even before I saw this on IMDb, even before there was an internet, when I was a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that John Ryder was the devil, a demon, or a part of Jim that he needed to get rid of. Like, what did Jim do before this? What kind of dark demon, what kind of spirit did he have in him? Because everywhere Jim was,
he was John, there.
Mm-hmm. John would pop out of nowhere. Had the perfect know
exactly
shot.
Where he was.
Kind of like a fight club before there was a fight club.
Yeah, like how did he find the hotel room that they were in?
Yes, yeah. And I'm not saying that it was actually Jim's body that was doing these things and all that, but this was his personal demon that was teaching. That's why he had to hurt him by killing Nash, because he was teaching him a lesson. He's either, and if he's not the personal demon for Jim, then he's a demon recruiting for his own and hurting people for his own. Because all this, or he was trying to get Jim to take his place. Because as we see later on in the movie, when everybody's arrested and Jim goes and breaks him out of jail, out of police custody, so he can kill him.
Worst police force ever. First of all, let me tell you this right now. You got this guy that's killed, I don't know how many people. Extremely dangerous. You know this. And you're going to sit up there and play freaking piggly wink cards, spades on the bus while you got this high-priced killer right there that you know is dangerous. And you sit up there playing cards, not even paying attention. Let's play a game of 21, you know, some crazy eights. Who does that?
You know what causes that?
Bad police work?
You're going to get this feeling, and it's going to build up inside of you. And it's pride. Fuck pride. That was their pride. That was their pride going, oh, we got it. This guy ain't shit.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
We have him in our custody now.
Yeah.
That was my riff on Pulp Fiction, by the way.
I'm with you.
When he's talking to Bruce Willis.
Yeah, don't let that pride get you. That's stinging in the back of your neck. That's what they thought, Josh? Nah.
Yeah, they knew they had it under control. They're big, tough 1986 fictional police characters with shotguns.
Fictional character.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the part right here.
I know. So, as they're letting him go his own way, and he's there with Captain Estridge, he gets Captain Estridge hostage. Starts going towards the police bus that's filled with police. And right when he gets there, because of probably supernatural reasons, Rutger Hauer had just taken control of everything, shoots out the back door, jumps out after shooting the bus driver, jumps into the windshield of the police vehicle that Jim is in, that Jim's stolen, right?
Yep.
Jim hits the brakes. He flies out of the window. This is when I'm not saying run him the fuck over.
End it now.
I mean, I guess it's different now when you know it's a not convicted, but a 100% positive psychopathic murderer for no good reason, killing people. You know, without a shadow of a doubt, this guy is fucked
up. But that's the problem. Okay, here's something else that doesn't make any sense. Okay, so he jumps out of the, Howard's on the bus. He jumps to his other bus, to the truck behind him, right? And goes through the windshield. Okay, he hits the brakes. He goes flying out of the car. And he's laying on the street. Explain to me why that car didn't start. Why didn't the car start? The window controls the engine?
Because it was flooded. When he stopped the vehicle, he had his foot on the gas still. And all those cars back in the day, you used to have to pump the gas.
Dude, come on. That's not a pump your gas. That was a street. That was a police. Oh, that's right. The bad police work. They probably didn't do maintenance on the cars either.
Deb and I had a Lincoln Continental Mark IV. And you had to step on the gas like five times and hold it before you even turn the ignition. Because if you didn't, you're just literally five, one, two, three, four, five, hold it, boom, started like nothing.
That's a little carburetor. Yeah.
If you did it four times, wouldn't work. Did it six times, it wouldn't work. Five times was good.
Garbage. Horror.
So I think that it was some kind of dark spirit. There's some kind of supernatural force working towards Jim. And Jim wasn't necessarily this nice golden boy or anything like that, but John Ryder, Rider of the Storm, definitely was some kind of fucked up force of nature, force of evil.
Okay.
That's all right. Why all the bullshit stuff happened.
Okay, first of all, let me point this out to you. That was really stupid, you know, because this ending, first of all, how he got the key, how he gave him the key to get out anyway. That had to be the most stupidest thing I ever seen in my life. That was dumb. How he was able to get that. And where did he get the police key from to give to him so he could get out of the chains? You know, how did he do that? No, it made no sense at all.
The one I watched did not have Jim giving John the keys.
Then how did John get out of the handcuffs?
He got out of the handcuffs because of the dumbasses that were playing spades on the bus.
So he just attacked those guys attacked those guys and took the cuffs and then threw them off.
The closest cop
killed them, didn't he?
Yeah, closest cop to him had his shotgun right there, not locked or anything like that, right there next to him. Jeez. And yeah, they were right in the middle of their game. He probably waited until somebody was like, "Oh, you're cheating! Now you can't be winning." Blah blah blah. Popped up, got that shotgun. Boom boom. Took out two real quick.
Okay. Yep. Now, this is the part, the ending. This is the spoiler alert, people. If you've been with us for this entire. Yeah, if you guys have been with us for this entire 71 minutes, almost 72 minutes right here, this is the part where I did not agree. They missed the mark. Okay, after he kills him, okay, and he psychs his revenge on Howard and everything, and they got him standing there just at the car. Like that in the red and with the sunset behind them and everything else like that. If they would have just did this one thing, it'd have been sweet as hell. If they would have just had him turn and stick out his thumb and he be the new hitcher, that would have been dope. That's how they should have ended it. They should have ended with him standing there and then holding out his thumb and just start hitchhiking.
But that would have meant that John won.
It would have been dope. That would have been a better ending than what they had there. I thought if they would have did that, because I thought what that was going to do, and they didn't do it, that would have been a better ending. Tell me about it, Josh. Josh, am I right?
There is a version of this movie where after everything, you know, how Jim's just there leaning on the truck, it's the end of the movie, it's all over.
Yeah.
There is a version where after Jim walks away, you hear the sand rustling, and you see John's feet stand up and his feet place on the ground, and it looks like he's starting to hitch the next ride. It's not on the HBO version.
They messed this all up.
If you would have seen that, you would have seen the supernatural connotation for it.
Yeah.
Because now he's on to the next mission. Like, what if he was just trying to make Jim a tough guy? What if he was trying to make Jim tough for the pending war, you know, whatever bullshit.
I would like if you would said that with the supernatural twist or whatever, that once he killed him, he Howard took his body or something like that, or possessed him or something else like that, and he took his spot or something else like that. I really thought that it would have been better as an ending if they would have did it like that. That just me. I actually talked to the Flower Child about it too, Erica, and she said the exact same thing. She said, "I thought it was going to be start hitchhiking." He said, "That would have made more sense."
You know what?
And Deb, I'm looking at you, and you agree that would have been a better ending, don't you?
She's falling asleep.
No, I'm not.
No, she.
I liked the way it ended, But I would have liked, an ending going, if he was supernatural, and then you would have seen, like, if they could have made a way where you see, like, that Jim turned into John.
Yep.
That's what Cobb's saying.
Yeah. I know, but I'm saying, like, if the way you're saying it, I don't know how to explain it.
I think so.
But yeah.
It would have been a better ending. You agree? So you thinking the same thing, Josh? How do you feel if they would have did that?
I don't like it.
You just don't want it. You just don't.
Because that would have meant John won and Jim and Nash died for nothing. But here's the thing. If you want to see a movie like that where it gets passed on that way, if you have not seen the Denzel Washington movie yet, Fallen, we need to put Fallen in our queue of movies to see.
Yes.
And talk about here at Cast of the Pod podcast. Because even though in Fallen, time is on my side.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yes, it is. Not necessarily so in real life. So we need to add Fallen to our playlist.
All right.
How about we do that next?
We'll see. But do y'all hear something?
I hear it.
I hear it, babe.
Well, that was new.
Yes.
Yes. I like it.
The Calculator of Doom has made its appearance here at the Cast of the Pod podcast. And I will go last because, okay. Yeah, who's going first?
Go ahead, Cap.
I'm going to give it a 7. It was some good stuff in it, but it was there's something in this movie called physics that they completely ignored a lot of times. And there was such bad police work. And I didn't like the ending. You know, I thought my ending would have been a lot better. You know, if they would have just called me up when I was back in 1986, I would have been able to tell them that would have been a better ending. But they didn't have that phone number at that time. You know, I think our phone was cut off then. I don't know. Anyway. I would have still gave him a 7. It's all right. Would I ever watch it again? Unless I wanted to show somebody the tomfoolery of bad police work. So yeah, I'm actually might go 6.5.
So wow. What is it? 6.5 or 7?
Oh, we're going 6.5.
All right. 6.5 plus Deb.
I really liked this one. It was the first time I watched it. It left a lot to my imagination, so it made it scarier. I did like the ending, but I would have liked the ending that Cobb said. I would have liked that ending also. So I like both. I mean, I liked the way it ended, but I would have been okay with that other ending also. But I gave the movie a 9.
Wow.
Deb gives it a 9. All right. So far, that brings us to a 15.5, right? Because of how I felt in this movie back in the day, and because I came in thinking, man, this is going to be horrible now. And then I saw the movie, and I saw the things back then that were horrible, and I now, you know, now can think of, other than him being supernatural, see other aspects of why things happen besides bad writing in some places and besides bad police work in some places, right? And realize that this movie carried over well. There's tons of things I wouldn't do, but it was a movie from 1986. And I will not give this movie a 10 because I give this movie a 14.5. So divided by 3, that's a 30. 10. We give this movie a 10. Cast of the Pod rates this movie officially.
What? The new math is going on. This is that new math they teaching the kids in school, ain't it? Because that don't make no damn sense. Josh, when did...
I gave it a 14.5. You gave it a 6.5. Deborah gave it a 9. Right? Plus 14.5 equals 30. Divided by 3 gives this movie a 10. Perfect.
I'm not even going to argue with him anymore, Deb.
Okay. Hold on. Here's some words that have never been uttered. In order to maintain the integrity of the Cast of the Pod podcast, because of how important the integrity of our podcast is, I will give this movie a 10.
Okay.
I won't fake it with a 14.5. I will give it a 10. And divided by 3, we give this movie an 8.5.
That's a decent rating, man. That's a good one. Because you got to sit back and say, Josh, come on, this movie was not perfect. You know it's not perfect. And there's a touch because of stuff in it all.
And because it's an 8.5, 5 goes higher, so it automatically goes to a 9.
Yep.
We round it off to a 9. So this
okay. All right. All right. You guys hit us up and you guys let us know how you felt about this movie when you see it. And you come back and you say, like, you know, Kyle, that ending would have been better. I mean, Deb even realized my ending would have been better. Josh, you're just waiting.
I didn't say it would have been better. I said I would have liked it either way.
That's close enough.
There's two different.
No, it's not. You said you liked it. That's what means you liked it. You like my ending better. I mean, what are you talking about?
I didn't say I liked your ending better. I said I would have been okay with either one.
Which is better?
No.
I don't understand.
I didn't say that I liked your ending better.
You didn't say you didn't like it.
I would be okay with it. But I like the ending that it has now. It's two different things that you're saying. Two
different things that we're talking about.
Okay.
So give me a moment. Now that we've given the movie a 9.5, I think...
9.5? This number just keeps going up and up.
I'm sorry. Deb, why are you laughing?
It just keeps going up. The numbers keep changing.
But look on Cobb's face.
Wait. I think we had a phone call.
What?
Yeah, at 786-763-2278. Here we go.
Hello, it's me, Chucky, in case you don't remember. Hello, Cobwebs. Hello, the Dem. Hello, Josh. I was doing really good on TikTok because, you know, I was doing my dances and then I was cooking a whole bunch of stuff. And now, like the crazy people, they said that we're going to have a TikTok no more. So I was like, okay, so I'm going to listen to the podcast. So I've been listening to the podcast and I saw the one with the Dracula 3 and the girl with the titties. And the guy from The Hitcher. And I really think y'all should do the movie The Hitcher. Y'all were talking about it. And it's got the guy from Fire in the Sky. And then it got the guy from Blind Fury. And it's kind of cool, especially when the guy's eating the french fries. And then he's eating his own finger. But it's somebody else's finger. But it was on his plate. So that means it's his finger now. And then he takes the girl. And it puts her in between the 18-wheeler, which was kind of stupid because, I mean, she looked like she works out and she's kind of strong, but she's not strong enough to pull the trailer off the truck.
No.
And instead, he put her in half. And that was a bad move. But, the history's pretty good. You should check it out. All right. Until next time, this is Chucky. Thank you. Please drive. Bye.
The hell?
So the real reason,
I haven't heard him in a long time.
The real reason we did this podcast is Chucky called up.
Oh my God.
And wanted us to do it. Now you know why I was pushing so hard for this movie. Because this movie is very important, apparently, to Chucky. The part that I don't get is he said the girl's in shape and she's strong, but she's not strong enough to pull the trailer with the 18-wheeler. So he thought that
she was trying to pull it,
was not going to tear her in half. He was going to pull the trailer, and she was going to use her brute Nash strength to pull the trailer along.
I'm done.
Oh, Chucky, you're so Chucky.
All right.
Oh, just a little special treat. Maybe we should have started. I was going to start with it, but you know, I didn't want the spoilers to ruin it.
It's okay.
I had heard this, okay. I had heard this message ahead of time.
Oh, man.
Any of y'all that hear this can call. I know we're an hour and a half into this already, but don't forget 786-763-2278. And if you can't remember it, 786-PODCAST. Reach us at Cast of the Pod. castofthepod.com, anything, you know, at Cast of the Pod or Cobweb411. So this has been our breakdown, our talk, our conversation about the 1986 classic. I was going to say Blind Fury, which is an awesome Rutger Hauer movie, but not this movie. The Hitcher, which gets an 8.5 here at Cast of the Pod. Unless, do y'all have anything else y'all want to add in?
I'm at 3%, so that's it.
9.5. Let's end it right now. Until next time, I'm Josh.
I'm Cobweb.
And I'm Deb. And the movie got a 9, not an 8.5.
Oh, yeah. This has been the Cast of the Pod podcast. You have been warned. Thanks for sharing your ears. Until next time, peace.
Deuces.
Bye, everybody.